fantastic season for you, culminating in the playoff victory. But if you take that to one side, what were the big highlights for you last season?
I suppose really that we'd started off. This was the first year we were full time. Started off with a very, very young squad, and I was amazed how quickly that young squad settled in. And I think we were sort of top of the league for the early fixtures. And I'm thinking, blimey, this ain't going to last. And it did last. Some memorable games, i.e. the Crawley one at home, Ebbsfleet in the FA Cup, and that generated two cup appearances, which any chairman will tell you, you know, if you can get yourself in the FA Cup on television, that paid for some of our signings later on in the year. So watching the young side blossom playing good football was really pleasing, and some of the boys really surprised me with how quickly they adapted to a higher level, and really pleased with some of the football we played, because, you know, as a manager, your job is winning, and that's really all it is. If you're winning, you're happy. If you're losing, you ain't. But sometimes when you pass the ball about and play football, you know, there were games this year away to Mansfield where we just got the ball down and passed and played really well. Cambridge away, played really well. Some really memorable games, and I think possibly Fleetwood in the semi-finals, where over the two games the boys really stepped up to a different level.
What were your expectations going into the season? Did you think that with such a young side and the fact that it was going full time for the first time that you would be right up there?
No, I thought we'd take us a year, and I thought we'd have a good year and maybe get in the playoffs or there and there about the playoffs. It surprised me how long we stayed at the top. Okay, Crawley had about five games in hand, they're always going to win it, but you know, to finish with 90 points, and some years you might be there or thereabouts with 90 points, and to finish 6 points against Luton, sorry, 6 points ahead of Luton, was a fantastic achievement. And so we exceeded expectation. The playoffs are always a lottery anyway, but the youngsters rose to that, and now we set ourselves looking forward to the League Two, thinking actually these boys can play under pressure, these boys can play in big games, these boys rise to the occasion. You can't buy that, you can't coach that, you can't teach that, they have to experience that, and they go into next year being winners.
Everyone wonders what sort of budget you need to compete at the top, and obviously this year Crawley, it's well known that they had huge backing, so if you take them out, essentially, you know, you won the league. And what sort of budget did you do that on?
We started off with 10k a week, and we were 44 weeks, so we weren't 52 weeks, which now we are 52 weeks because we're a Football League side, you have to be. And that's what we started off with, 440k, and the chairman's as good as gold. If there's more money available, he will release some more money. We had we took some good revenue in on the FA Cup, and he gave me half of that to invest in the playing squad. And in the previous year, I didn't invest that very wisely. The players I bought in didn't really take us to a higher level. This year, I was able to bring in Jamie Stewart from Rushton, who made a massive difference to us physically and mentally. Got real good mental strength. He's a winner. And we were able to bring in Kaid Mohammed, who up front took the weight off Danny Kebble. Without those two investments, we wouldn't have got promotion.
What sort of changes are you making in that sense in terms of next season? Is there a big increase in the budget?
Well, there is, as in we'll still take the same revenue in. Support, we've still got the same supporter base, so that sort of 400k will be what the club can afford, and then we get an additional lump sum from the Football League, and Eric will give me as much as I need to improve. So we will need three quality players. Even by just keeping the same playing staff together, we go to 52 weeks, which increases it by 21%, and that's without giving the players a rise. You've already done that 21%, and we are giving the players a rise. So I think we'll have the lowest budget in our league, But that's almost irrelevant because we'll have a great bunch of hungry young footballers who have tasted success and want, you know, what's a success? Become a Football League player. We are a Football League player. Don't make sure we don't lose that in the first year. And there's no reason to suggest looking at the teams that have gone up in the past that they all do well, don't they? So I think we'll do well.
Wimbledon are a unique club in the sense that obviously where you started, was it 20, 25 years ago now, going all the way up to the Premier League, then having to start again. What do you think, what does the club think is a realistic level that is sustainable for the club? You know, where can you get to and stay?
Well, the club's always punched above its weight. It's always, you know, it was always the worst paid team in the Premier and they stayed there for 14 years. If I look at where we are now, our module, you know, a fans owned, and we are fans owned with nobody putting any money in, we're going to hit a glass ceiling. We are definitely going to hit a glass ceiling. I would think it'd probably be Div 1. I think we could be okay where we are. I think we can compete with this group of boys we got. And very well-run club with 350 volunteers. If you took them 350 volunteers out, blimey, how much money would that cost you? We wouldn't be able to do it. So keep them on board. We work hard to keep them on board. And I'm thinking if we got in the Div 1, it would be that Dagenham. It would be that situation where you go, can you sustain Div 1 on gates? Well, Dagenham done it on 1,000, but we'd have gates of 3.5, 4. Our ground is not big enough to sustain much more than that. So you get into that whole scenario of moving back to Merton and getting a ground that will accommodate Division 1 or League 1 football. I think we've got a good non-league ground at the minute, so we'd have to do a lot of work behind the scenes to get us up to League 1 status.
Obviously, since you and have been involved with Wimbledon and since Wimbledon have been reformed, it's been nothing but success. It's been positive. Obviously, you're making the step up and obviously you're saying the glass ceiling might be League 1. You know, how are you going to cope if you start badly? If things don't, you know, for the first time, you know, you're not enjoying success at the beginning of next season and you've got a tricky spell.
That's when you hope your managerial skills come in, and they're hard-earned skills. I've been doing this for 20 years now, so life isn't always rosy. If I look at the budget I've been given now to go into League 2, there's room to spend a bit more money. So, you know, Eric's probably the best accountant I've ever met in my life, and I can guarantee if he says that's your max, then there's a little bit more leeway there. And don't get me wrong, this isn't me trying to get more money out of Eric, but Eric runs such a clever ship. You know, we don't account for FA Cup games, we don't account for FA Trophy, we're not in that now, or Carling Cup. The bottom line is we'll be able to cope, and if I need more money, then that probably would become available if I needed it, but hopefully I won't.
What's the range of budgets in League 2? Do you know what it ranges from with the competition?
Most managers I speak to, I probably know half the managers in. It's £1 million+, and that sounds a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money. And they just passed a thing now, I think it's 55% of the turnover now. We won't have that next year. But what we will have is we go in with a solid squad of players that have played together for 2 years now. Can't buy that. You cannot buy that continuity. That, you know, if you give me double the budget now with no players, I'd struggle to be as strong as we're going to be next year, because we've got a good nucleus of players who don't kiss the badge, but they work their off to keep the shirt on.
That's a really good point. Obviously, you're leaving us now, but the teams that you're leaving behind, everyone keeps saying it's Fleetwood or Luton. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's difficult to look much beyond that. I know we it looks on paper like we caned Fleetwood. Our keeper made some brilliant saves at the right time. There wasn't a lot to choose between the two teams. He's strengthening. He's got the money to strengthen. The manager's got the ability to take that club to the top, and I think that it will be them two. I can't see much else in there. I don't see anything coming down. I don't see the Lincolns, the Grimsbys from last year. I don't see who's come down, Stockport. I don't see any of them coping with how difficult it is in this league. And there'll be maybe a Darlington all surprise. Kettering, if the chairman ever gets his hand out of his pocket, you know, I don't know.
And with the clubs that have just come up, who do you think will be the most successful?
I think Braintree will struggle, not for lack of effort. They've got a great bunch of lads. Their wage bill is, you know, I think they won their league on 3k last year, and you know, 3k is not enough in this league. Who went up with them, Ebbsfleet, will be fine. I think Daishi knows the league inside out. I think he's a brilliant manager, and if he's given the money, he'll do well in the league. So as for Northern teams, I don't know too much about them, to be honest.
Who do you think, obviously there's some great players in the division, who do you think, if you were to single out, if you were picking, you know, the standout striker, midfielder, defender and goalkeeper in the division?
I think Chubbsy's standout, best player in the league by a country mile, has the ability to change games and win games on his own. If I look at centre-halves, I think the two Crawley centre-halves were magnificent. So they had the quality down the spine. I think our goalie could be a Premier goalie. The only player on my side that I think could possibly play Premier League, the goalie's a big lump, he's 20 years old, and he's got everything there. So I'd put him as the best goalie in the league.
I do remember that save against us at 3-2.
Yeah, he is a phenomenal goalie. Does everything, like nothing flash, works his socks off, and is a Wimbledon season ticket holder. His mum and dad are season ticket holders. You can't buy that, can you? You know, the boy don't want to go nowhere. So I'm happy.
If you take Crawley and Wimbledon out, if you look at the players that are left, who would you say the standout players are in the positions?
I suppose you'd have to look at Luton again, top quality goalkeeper, two good centre halves. He didn't fancy the boy up front who scored the goals, but I do think he's a very good manager, so I think he'll get most of that right. The boy Lawless, I'm surprised York let go. I think he's a quality boy. Fleetwood have got several outstanding players. The boy Barry in midfield is quality. Up front they need a little bit of firepower, and there are some real gems in non-league football, and we'll still be trying to plunder that market for our new players, because they're hungrier than who wants a Div 2 player or a Div 1 player just seeing out the contracts. You don't need that, do you? I want hungry boys that work their balls off for a career, and that's got to be a better way of going.
So what kind of tips have you got for the managers that are looking to progress next season in the Premier? What are the key ingredients?
First tip has to be have a relationship with your chairman that is the most important relationship in the club. If that's not right, nothing's going to happen. Get out. If you've got a good relationship and you work hand in hand, you think you're both working together, and you go through the chairman on everything, that's the start of building a club. Try and get him to give you a little bit of time. If you've got the chairman who wants to win something next year, fine. If he's putting the Crawley budget in, you'll go along with it. But if he's giving you not enough money and saying he wants to win something this year, move on. Get yourself a club where you can actually build. Lots of people talk about five-year plans, and I think if you're a manager and you've got much more than a two-year plan, you're pushing it. I'm thinking, yeah, are you trying to play a certain brand of football, or is it just about winning? Have you got a youth set up? If you ain't got a youth set up, it's all right saying, well, yeah, we'd like to go young. Well, where are you going to pluck these young'uns out from? You need a proper set up, and it takes time. So have a proper plan, build to all that plan, keep showing the chairman all the way along that, you know, it's a bigger picture, and have some luck.
What sort of budget do you think you need to, one, stay up, two, challenge for the playoffs, and three, challenge for the title?
I think you can stay up in the Conference National on 3-4k.